mom or your dad to do the canceling. You cancel the reservations, you cancel the cake, you cancel the minister and the flowers, you cancel everything. Don't give it to someone else. I thought that was good advice. And then they talked about give back the stuff. They didn't use the word stuff, but I can't use the word that they put because you'll misunderstand it and call a conference. So it said, give back the stuff. I agree, it said, take care of yourself. Don't second guess yourself. I don't know how you do that if you call off a wedding. And then seek support. I agree with that one. I follow ministers. It's kind of my hobby. I follow preaching ministries and people who have different gifts and the unusual. That's kind of a side hobby that I do. There's a minister that I followed for a number of years. Her name is Dr. Juanita Bynum. She has a book out called A Matter of Hearts. She's an unusual preacher. She's not of our denomination. You probably wouldn't agree with it. And if you saw me listening to her, you'd probably wonder what I'm into. But she's a very interesting preacher, if you've ever seen Juanita Bynum. She got married in 2003, and she was marrying Bishop Thomas Weeks III. They had a wedding, a $1 million wedding, 80 in the wedding party, with 1,000 guests, a 12-piece orchestra, flowers flown from around the world, and her dress took 9 months to make. It was hand-sewn crystals, and she had a sterling silver headpiece. When asked about the wedding, Bynum said this, "This is my once-in-a-lifetime wedding. I did it this way because I plan to stay married." I'm intrigued. I'm switching, moving over. I'll come back to that. Of all the parables that Jesus told stories about, their stories, Matthew chapter 22 for me is an intriguing parable. Matthew chapter 22, if you turn there. So unusual. I really wrestled with this because there's some things in the parable that I have to look at a number of times to make some kind of sense out of it. And as Jonathan was reading, I'm sure you might feel the same way, talking about come to the wedding. Now, let me tell you what the parable really means, because it talks about the kingdom. The parable is representing the kingdom of God. God the Father invites us to accept his son. That was done. People were invited to accept Jesus. That was done to his people. And we know that they did not accept him. That's the gist of the parable. I like to go and parables or stories. You can see a parable and see something totally different than I'll see. I'd like to show you what I see, recognizing the context of the parable. I'm having a president moment here. There's a fly around me. and I probably won't end up on YouTube around the world if I get him. I'd like to show you that a part of the parable that maybe you may not have seen that I see that's just, I'd like to think that is very encouraging. Matthew chapter 22. A wedding, would you agree, is a joyful time? I'm talking about a wedding. A wedding is a time not for sorrow, but of joy. It's a great time. I liken the wedding and why Jesus is talking about it, I liken it to the gospel. And that the gospel is the highest joy that we can experience. I believe I recognize that the Christian life has toil and that it's a grind sometimes. But I'd like for you to think about the Christian life as joy. The joy of a wedding. I would say most weddings are a joyous time, except for the person paying for it. Beyond that, it is a joyous time. Yes, we're laborers in God's vineyard, but we're also guests at his table. I recognize life is about working, but life is about feasting also. If God of the universe would invite you to his son's wedding, would you come? Come to the wedding. Would you come? If God invited you, would you come? In this parable, there were those who would not come. In fact, one commentary said there was two kind of rejectors. There was the first one who had so much going on, it was so busy that they just couldn't make the time to come to the wedding of God's Son. They were busy. They didn't make any excuses. But they were just doing the world's bidding. Would you come to the wedding if God invited you? I think we need to be careful. Our Sabbath school lesson talked about some of the aspects of the world. We have to be careful that we are not so absorbed with the world that we don't have time for God. God invites us to come to the wedding. There was a 7-year-old boy, you may have heard the story. He didn't want to go to church, so he hopped in his dad's car and drove the car away. Did you see that? 7-year-old. Police chasing a 7-year-old in a car. He was doing pretty good driving, I consider it, because he didn't want to go to church. Dad took him to church anyway. I was glad for that end of the story. 7-year-old. Boy, that must have, I'd like to see. I mean, I have an. I'd like to see what that church service is about. That he was willing to run from it in that way. But the next rejecter. Now, this is what really puzzled me as I went over this parable. Look again at Matthew chapter 22. Let me show you something that happens here that can be a little confusing. Look at verse, I'll start at 5. But they made light of it and went their way, and one to his own farm and another to his business. I just mentioned him. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. When the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. He said to the servant, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many as you find invite to the wedding." So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all those whom they found, and both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. He said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without
a wedding garment, and he was speechless. Then the king said to him, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I was amazed that the servants were sent out just to invite them to the wedding. They killed them for just inviting them. You know, I thought about this real hard. Is it possible even today, if you don't believe like somebody else believes, that they would even kill you for it? Is that possible? Yes, it is. In fact, it happens quite a bit. You cannot even stand up for what you believe. But don't you, what? I mean, okay, I got that part. But what threw me off was the reaction of God. It almost appeared that he overreacted. If you don't look at this really close, it looks like God's a really bad guy. Why? The others, yeah, but God, you invited people, you told your servants to go out and bring people in, whether they're bad or good or whatever, and you spot a man who invited in with, didn't have the proper garments on, and you take and bind him and throw him out because he doesn't have on the right garment, and you invited him? What's wrong with this picture? I thought about this all week long. Who is Paul? Paul? I'm not picking on Paul, but Paul's a Marine. You got to look at this parable in the sense. When I served in the military, there were events that they were not requirements. Elliot, you can relate to this, but Marine Corps ball. I don't know of any Marine or sailor assigned to the unit who wouldn't go to the Marine Corps ball. Am I right? Unless you're on emergency leave, you're burying a family member, you go to the Marine Corps ball. You just do. That's not what you sign up in your contract, but you go to the Marine Corps ball. And not only, you see, some things, it doesn't appear that they are in the form of a command, but they are. Those who have served in the military, there are some things you go to. They may not have been in your contract, but you show up. If your commanding officer invites you to his home, you better be real sick not to show up. Folks, it's a command, and they don't say it in the form of a command. If God invites you to his wedding, you go. And not only that, because this is another part of it. Now, God, you asked anybody to come in. And there was one person there that didn't have on the proper garment. I mean, you ask them to come at the last minute. Why would you throw them out? Why would you bind them? You know what? You know what this is all about. There are some places you go, if you don't go the right way, you dishonor the king. You know what God does? He invites us to the wedding, and then he gives us the clothes to put on. He gave everybody there the clothes to put on. Evidently, there was one person who decided, I'm not going to put it on. You know what that is? And this is why, when we come to Jesus, when we've been invited to come and give our hearts to him, we have to put on his clothes, his righteousness. He gives us the clothes, and we take it, and then we're worthy because of him. Haven't you figured out that you'll never be good enough? Or you try it for a few minutes. See if you're good enough. See if your thoughts are even good enough. We have to put on the clothes that he gives us. And when we do that, when we really accept Jesus, we ought to have Jesus' joy. Can I tell you that there really shouldn't be any long-faced Christians? But we have it. And it challenges us, doesn't it? It challenges us to have the joy of Jesus, but we have to think, when we think of Jesus and coming to him, we have to think in terms of the wedding. No one goes to a wedding with the idea that it's going to be unhappy. Not the wedding. The marriage is another thing. Okay. The wedding, we expect it to be happy, joyous. At the wedding, who's the star? Let's face it. Weddings, guys, you can go rent whatever you want to rent. It's not about us. It's about the bride. Am I right? Is that what everybody's waiting to see? I'm sorry. They're not too particular on, you know, how we, you know. I never hear anybody commenting on the men at a wedding unless it's messed up, right? I mean, unless something's off, you don't hear them comment. It's usually about the bride. Guess who is the bride? We are. We, the church, Christians, those of us who accepted his invitation, we are the bride. You ought to be happy about that, amen? You ought to be glowing because you are the bride. Now, let me tell you something as I close. This is a series. I'd ask you to stay with me. I have a lot of Bible texts. I didn't share them with you. Read Revelation starting Revelation 19. Go on up to Revelation chapter 22. You'll find a lot of references to the bride. And the spirit and bride say, come. One of some of the last verses in the Bible make reference to the bride. Even the New Jerusalem itself is a bride adorned for a husband. So I have those texts. I may share them in a sermon that's coming up. I want you to know I have those texts. Sometimes people are a little excited because I have not used any texts. I'll get there. This is a journey. But let me ask you something, because this is where we're going next. When Jesus was asked, Jesus quoted a text dealing with marriage about a wedding. He quotes this in Matthew 19. A man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's the text that Jesus quotes. But the actual ceremony itself is in Genesis 2 and verse 22, and it's just a few words. This is all the wedding service is. It's not a lot of money. It's not a lot of pomp. And it's just this. Let me read it to you. This is the first wedding. And he brought her to the man. That's it. That's the first wedding service. And right after then, Adam goes bonkers. He says, "And this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." He was joyous. He was happy. Do you think the devil attacks so much weddings or marriage? Marriage. I'm amazed how much time we spend on the wedding. And it's joyous when the devil is going to attack marriage. So we'll take a look at that the next time and see where he goes with that. In fact, you'll find it right there in Genesis where I'm at. To give you a hint on where I'm going and what he does. Juanita Bynum, who I follow, probably a year or a year and a half ago, the police were called in outside a hotel in Atlanta because her husband was beating her up on the street. This is the same one with the $1 million wedding. It was all over the news, all over the internet. Folk, this is real. This will be a tough journey for me to go into because I think we all have relationship challenges. It's not about how much money you spend. It's about coming to Him and having Him give you what you need to make it through these relationship challenges. May God help us and as we go on this journey. I want you to have a spirit of joy as we start this journey. Amen. Because we come into the challenging parts where the devil attacks not our weddings, but our marriage, our relationships. May the Lord guide us and direct us. Because all of this impacts our relationship with one another and with Him. May He give us what we need for these times in His name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for inviting us to give our hearts to You. You invited a whole people, a whole nation. And they rejected You. You've invited people even today, and they're so busy. We invite our relatives and our friends, and they have no time. They are doing so many other things, no time for You. And Lord, when we do not have time for You, it impacts us, impacts our family, it impacts our relationships. And so, Lord, we start right now with You and invite You to be the Lord of our lives. And that permeates all relationships, including relationships for those who decide to marry. Help us, Lord, to lean on You and accept Your righteousness, Your power, and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And we conclude our service today. One stanza, 577, In the Heart of